was pressured into hitting on another man.
Okay. By your friends?
Yeah, starting off with a bang. Okay. So, Monday night, I was with friends. We were at a bar drinking, and then I saw two other friends. They just happened to be there, so they joined our group, and we're just all drinking. And so one of the guys in the group, he was like, "Oh my God, Vince, see that guy there?" And he's like, "I'm like, yeah, I see that dude." He's like, "He's beautiful. Can you hit on him for me?"
Oh, okay.
And I was like, I don't want to hit on another guy. Like, that's just, I mean, I would not want to. No, I just don't want to. And I was like, also, if you think he's cute, why don't you just do it, dude?
Yeah.
And he's like, and so basically my friend was like, "I'm too shy. I don't hit on, I have no confidence, blah, 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 blah." And so I was just like, "All right, fine." And he kept, I was doing other things, mingling, and he kept coming back. He's like, "Come on, Vince, don't be a pussy. Just do it. Just do it."
Okay. Ironic, but okay.
Yeah, I'm like, "Oh, what?" So I'm like, "Hey, ironic indeed." So I was like, "You know what? You want me to hit on him for you? Fine, I'll do it." So I walk right on over, and this dude's talking to his friend, and I'm like, "Hey, my friend, this guy over here, he thinks you're really cute." And I go point to where he is, and when I go point, there's nobody there.
Oh no!
And then I was like, "Oh fuck!" Well, he was there, and so the other guy was just like, "Oh well, okay." I'm like, "Yeah, okay." I just walk away, and I walk into the bar a little bit, and I just see him with his back turned towards us, like at the front of the bar. I'm like, "What did you do?" And then he's like, basically was said, "I did not expect you to actually do it."
What? okay.
I'm 90% sure the guy that he had me go was not gay, so maybe that was a factor. I'm not sure, but so that was my Monday.
Okay, a great way to start the week.
So that brings up the topic. Do you have like any stories of when you hit on someone for a friend? You were essentially a wing girl or a wing girl for a guy or a girl.
I feel like, oh yeah, I did that actually for somebody. I think I'm actually really good. Wing person, because basically the last time I did this was actually with the ex friend, remember Boo Boo? And
Yogi, I'm thinking of Yogi Bear and Boo Boo whenever you say that.
Yes. Hey, Boo Boo, yeah. So, anyways, we were in Locarno, which is the Italian part of Switzerland, and she really wanted to meet guys and she really wanted to go clubbing. And at the time, I was like, I don't know. But then we went, and I had a great time. I got really drunk, so I was feeling super confident. I was talking to everybody. And then she was like, "Oh, I want to meet somebody." So I was like, "Okay." So I literally went up to, like, every guy, and I was like, "Hey, my friend." She's like, she just, like, wants to mingle. "Have you met my friend?" And then everyone was like, and actually several guys were wanting to, like, get to know her and, like, hit on her back and stuff. So I was like, I did my job.
so you were solid at that.
Wow. So I have to be super drunk, because then I'm very confident, and I felt like, and I think people were like, "Oh, you're really good at selling things." You know, like I've been told this, like, and when I get really into it, I'm really persuasive. And yeah. So and I think also part of it was people humoring me, like, "Okay, this is really funny, this little person coming up," and like, "Hey." And then like one guy was like, "I live in a tent," you know, and I was like, "It doesn't matter."
So you
it's also, okay.
So you also went up to a homeless person too.
Oh no, he wasn't homeless. He was traveling and he was in town and he was just staying in a tent and stuff. But then he was like, "Oh, but you know, my tent's like around the corner," you know, like, and I was like, "Okay, well, this is my exit. This is not my part of the deal." And I would literally, like, grab her and, like, shove her next to the guy and be like, "All right, talk," you know, and then I walk away.
Wow. Okay, so you have better luck at that than me because I think Monday for me was my first time actually like going up. And maybe since like, you know, maybe I probably did that when I was like in elementary school because that's what we all did, you know, like go. This is literally an adult version of being like, hey, my friend thinks you're hot. And then your friend is just like, don't tell her. Like, you know, like.
Yeah, we've all done that.
Yeah. Or it's happened to us and we're like horrified. I think the only other times that I've ever tried to be, this is not really a wing person, but like maybe I've hung out with friends and I invited another friend with like, I'm not trying to like match people, but I am kind of like, I was like, oh, they might get, I'm not trying to put any, that would put pressure on me if I told them.
Yeah. Yeah.
But like, I would purposely invite certain people to something. I'm like, you know what? They might get along. And every time I've done that, it's never worked out.
Oh, okay. I was like, yeah. Well, actually, that's super fun. I like doing. I used to do that more when I like knew more people and knew more single people and stuff. So then, I mean, it's more like just an experiment. Like, ooh, I think they would really get along. And I can't remember if things worked out, but at least I feel like the people, they were friends, you know, or like they liked each other and like as casual friends or something. I don't know, but that's always fun, matchmaking. I love it. Haven't done it in years, but yeah.
I will say one interesting, so right before I came to Beijing, two of my friends invited a couple, my buddy's girlfriend invited her friend out with us to like one night for like some event in LA right before I left, and then it wasn't, they knew I was leaving, so they weren't trying to match me with her, but she was like, but she would always talk to me about this girl. And she's like, I should have invited her way earlier because I think you guys would hit it off. Mm-hmm. And we did hit it off. Like, we ended up hang out a lot. I mean, I don't want to like put this out public, but like, this is just for you to hear. Her Instagram handle is at Judgy Jew. Like that, that's like immediately like someone I like, and so we spent the night like just talking shit to people, and like it was really fun. And actually, we actually kept in touch this whole year, and we ended up going out for a drink when I went back to LA in September. I thought it would have been weird because we only hung out once, but she would actually like messaging me and saying, hey, we should hang out.
Yeah.
So, you know, maybe that's a future match if and when I'm back home or something. I don't know. That would
be successful. I feel like, you know, friends are the best, like good friends, not like, because I've had some like asshole friends who are just like, oh, you should date this guy who's like pretty much an asshole as well. But, you know, I don't know like why they low standards. I don't know. But I feel like if someone really knows you and cares about you and is a good friend to you, they would actually know who, like, if like, you know, like, because I feel like I've known so many people who they've met like significant others and stuff through, yeah, just mutual friends. Because generally, if you have a good group of friends, they're going to know good people as well and probably with similar interests and stuff. And yeah, so I'm all for that.
Mm-hmm. So you're saying since all the times I've tried to do that failed, that I'm a very bad friend?
No, because there's certain people, like I've done that too, where it's like, you're like, oh, maybe this might work. Like it's more like how, but then there's some people you're like, oh my gosh, this is going to work, you know? And it's rare. It's not like, because it's not like every person you meet or you have a friend, you're like, oh my gosh, they would totally go well with this other person, you know? So I really feel like your friend who recommended your new friend is like, and you said she always mentioned her and stuff. So she probably had this strong gut feeling that this would be good, you know?
Yeah.
Because I'm saying it's not all the time. Because it's like, if it was all the time, then everyone would be happily paired off all the time, you know? So, which is not the case. So, yeah.
I will say the times that I have tried it, I was sometimes at least like 50% successful where maybe one of them ended up liking the other person and the other person just didn't like them back. So it was like, okay, I was close. So I was like, I was close. I wasn't a total failure in that area.
Yeah. I mean, also I was going to say like, I just had a thought, I like to do this with, so like platonic friendships as well. Like I have a lot of friends where I'm like, oh my gosh, you have to hang out with my friend, this like one friend from LA. And they're like, okay, you know, like, but I feel like, oh, you guys would get along because you guys like the same stuff. And, you know, and I really, I feel like I've done that a lot with, like when, I think that's why also I introduced a lot of my friends to Daniel, because I feel like it's like, you guys are just going to get along, you know, and they're going to be your friends too. And it's all going to be great. And yeah, so far it's worked out. And then, but I really like doing that as well, because I just feel like if you know good people, just want to share them with everybody.
That's actually really true. Yeah, yeah. And actually, okay, that has been successful for me. I've done that before. Mm-hmm. And then like friends become friends, like something. Yeah. And then like, and then have you ever had a situation where like maybe a friend introduced you to one of your one of their other friends? Mm-hmm. And then you and the other friend ended up becoming closer somehow than the original friend?
I feel like that's happened. Yeah, because there's some friends where you're like, yeah, I like this person, but I feel like I, you know, for some reason we're not that close. Maybe you'll like them even more.
You try.
You know, I mean, I think I've also had instances like a long time ago where that happened, and then the original friend got jealous, you know, because they were like, that wasn't supposed to happen. but yeah, so, and I think, actually now I'm thinking about it, I feel like the reason why this is more successful is because you're just like, we're just gonna hang out and be buddies, you know, whereas when it becomes like romantic, then there's that extra layer, this like higher step of like, well, then they have to like each other back kind of thing. Mm-hmm. And then that, because there's some people, they're like, okay, well, I like you to hang out with you a lot, but I don't like you, you know, so.
So, to change the subject, I saw a movie last weekend that I think is a movie you must watch.
Okay.
So you know, I went to Malaysia last weekend.
Yes.
And on the flight back, I watched this movie. It was called Robin Shop.
Robin Shop.
It's basically a movie about how noodles save a family. And I was like...
Wait.
Yeah, go ahead.
Wait, is it called Ramen Shop or Robin Shop?
Ramen.
Oh, okay, Ramen Shop. Okay, yeah. I'm going to just write this down.
Mm-hmm. All right, so the movie is about this guy. He's half Japanese and half Singaporean Chinese. Mm-hmm. And basically, when his father moved to Singapore when he was young and met a Singaporean girl who worked at a noodle shop, and it goes into like, the whole romance, which is very cute because like neither of them could speak each other's language and they could only speak a little English. Mm-hmm. And it's a real, and then it goes to the future where like the kid, his dad dies and he wants to find like, his dad dies. And his mother had died years before, so he wants to go to Singapore to like find it, like meet his other family, and also learn how to make like his mother's old pork rib noodle soup, just so he can remember her. Like he's a chef. He's also a chef. So the whole movie's him. So he travels to Singapore, and he meets up with his uncle there, and you know it goes into like his uncle owns a restaurant. So this whole movie is very like food centered. Like they go into you know why noodles are good and it's special. They lots of shots of food and cooking, and like it is amazing. It's like you know that movie Chef.
Yes, I know of it. I haven't seen it.
Okay, basically, it's like the noodle version of that, where it's just all about the art of noodles and even like Singaporean food too. Like all the food in Singapore is just so multicultural there. Mm-hmm. And then basically, it goes into like he meets his uncle introduces him to his grandmother, and there's like some bad family history because his grandmother you know, since she's Chinese, she hated her father, who's Japanese, because of, like, World War II of everything. And so, you know, he has to, like, win her love. So he's trying really hard to make her daughter his mother's old soup noodle. And,
that's amazing. I love this. I love that.
It is so, it is, yeah. Mm-hmm. And,
yeah.
I don't want to say too much, because, like, I actually really want you to watch it and give you a review. But basically, the movie almost had me crying at the end. And, like, I actually usually don't like overly emotional movies, but, like, family movie. But, ooh, this movie hit me hard. And, like...
Okay, I'm definitely going to cry. I noticed that every... it's about an Asian family. For some reason, I'm, like, in tears. So, okay. Because I just looked it up on Letterboxd. And is it, like, live, like, with people? Or because the cover is, like... drawn? So is it, like, animated or
the cover? Oh yeah, that's just the cover. But the movie it's like an indie movie, so it's like an animated cover, but the movie is live.
Okay, I love I just love movies about, or just not just movie, just anything where, because I really feel like food brings people together, and I feel like I totally get that when you say like he's trying to make that specific noodles because it's gonna evoke so much feelings and emotions and memory, you know what I mean? I'm just like, oh my god, I'm all about that. I'll definitely watch it.
And that movie does it. Like, to be honest, before I saw that movie, I actually never had any interest in going to Singapore because I just thought it was just like, just a very, like, clean city in my mind. But, like, watching that movie, like, I think I'm just like on a food tour and just eat like crazy.
Oh my gosh, yeah. I feel like, because I mean, I still have, I know Japan is just, I feel like Japan is just not unreachable, but at this moment, sort of, because until I get a solid salary, I can't really save up for it. But, like, there's other places I want to go. And I think now, because before I kind of wanted to hit the countries that I knew about, like, I had some connection to, like, for example, Vietnam, I had a lot of Vietnamese friends, you know, and stuff. And so, for example, like, Malaysia and Singapore, I didn't really have, it wasn't that I didn't care. It was just not on my list because I still had other places I wanted to see and I didn't have a connection to it. But now that I'm seeing more food images and knowing more about, like, the cultures, the histories and stuff, that I'm like, oh wow, I really, really want to go. Like, when you went to Malaysia and stuff, I was like, okay, I want to do that. And I have a friend who she went to Malaysia because her friend lives there, and she was just saying the food is amazing. And now I follow him on Instagram and I'm seeing the proof, and I'm like, oh my gosh, I really want to go there.
Yeah, dude, you don't need a connection to a country. Like, you can make your own connection by going. That might be even better. Like, a clean slate.
Yeah, that's true.
You know, figure it out yourself. So,
yeah,
Malaysia blew my mind because, dude, Malaysia is kind of the future. Here's why.
Okay.
So, first of all, it's probably the Asian country I've been to where I've never heard so much English. Like, everyone, I can't say the whole country, at least Kuala Lumpur, the biggest city there, everyone speaks English. Even, like, so I'm just chatting with a taxi driver on the way to the airport, and they're playing the radio's in English, all the advertising's in English, even, like, security guards are speaking English to me, and so everyone can speak English, and it's super multicultural. Like, there's, like, Malaysians, Chinese, Thai people, a lot of Indian people, and there's no white people, really, and everyone speaks English. Mm-hmm. So it's like, that's the future, basically. And, I mean, there's food everywhere, like, so many restaurants, food from all over. And, yeah, I'm down to go again, like, for a quick trip again. Like, I really dug it, and I ate so much food there. It was great.
So my friend said she had this, it's called blue rice. Well, it's not called blue rice. It's blue rice, basically. Did you eat that?
I only ate noodles, to be honest.
Okay. Yeah. Maybe next time you eat rice. But, oh my gosh. I'm sad because I can't go on a noodle tour.
But since you're in Europe, your kind of shtick is you travel all over Europe, but you never really eat European food. You're always eating, like, you're looking for noodles in Europe or, like, Asian food in Europe.
Yeah, I mean, at the moment, because I've right now I'm going back to countries I've already been to. So, like, for example, UK, like, I always try to eat, like, one of their, you know, cultural, like, so at the, like, English food, you know, like, British food, I always eat something, like, one time. Like, actually, this trip, I had it twice. So I basically had, like, a pot pie and, like, and it was interesting. So I had one, we got home delivery one time because we were like my friends were too tired from work, and then that I felt was like what local people eat. It was like just a pie, and then they put like curry sauce everywhere, and like, so this is really interesting because I think Indian food is, because there's so many Indian people there, like it's part, like their national dish is like curry now and stuff. So that was like local real life eating it. And then later I went to a restaurant. I was actually trying to get Chinese noodles, but it was so packed, so I ended up eating at like a pie and mash shop, but it's kind of like more modern and stuff, but traditional. So then you had like the fancy meat pie and stuff like that. But then because I feel like I've had it, I want to eat the stuff that like, and also I consider UK, it's so multicultural as well, that the food is really good, like the like Asian food and stuff. So I've better chance of eating something legit there than I have in Switzerland. Because apparently, in Lucerne, there was this basically Japanese restaurant that opened, and I thought the ramen was super good, to the caliber of like just my Asian taste buds. So I was like raving about it with friends, and then I have a friend who she's Japanese, and I told her like, oh, have you been there? She's like, oh my God, that place. She's like, it's shit. And I was like, no, you just like broke my vision, because I was like, of course you're gonna know it's not good, but for me it's like the best I can find, you know. So yeah.
I mean one of my Japanese friends in LA says Daikokuya is garbage, so yeah, I mean, you know, I guess like I'm kind of the same way over here when people are like, oh, this pizza is great. And I'm like,
oh yeah,
this pizza's shit. Like it is, it's like it's eatable, but
yeah. Like I mean, there's most. I don't go to Chinese places. There's actually someone told me there was a Taiwanese shop, like Taiwanese restaurant in Zurich, and then she is a Chinese person. She's like, oh my God, it's legit. You have to go. So I'm very curious and want to check it out. But generally, when it comes to Chinese food, I have very low standards. And yeah, for me, I go if I'm like starving and it's like the only thing open, and it's, yeah, it's edible and there's flavor, and it's also not like, you know, like potatoes or something. Potatoes. So I'm gonna like, yeah, because so like the European food is, I mean, and we have it every day in the cafeteria, it's good, you know, but it's, you start to realize, oh, it's similar flavors every day, similar base, you know. So then after like 2 weeks of eating the same ish stuff, like I just want something Asian, which could be anything at that point. So yeah. Yeah.
I think like the, you know, when your favorite foods, sometimes you just have those hard cravings.
Yeah, and it's like, that's also why for me instant noodles are just like a quick fix, because it's just like, it's just the flavors are just, it's not European, you know, so it's like, I just need that, like, a dose of MSG and, like, some, like, spices, and I'm good, and can get on with my week, you know, and, yeah.
What's been going on your end?
So my end has been, it's been really stressful, work-wise, so, basically, I don't know, the last time we talked, I think I was already like saying things weren't going well, but things just got worse. So I just realized, oh my God, like I thought my last company was corrupted. It's like this company is a fucking mess. And there's so much like social injustice happening that I was like, you know, I want to do something about it. And everyone's just move on, just let it go. It's not worth it. But I was like, no, like they fucked over so many people that I want to, you know, break something on the way out, you know, because obviously I'm not going to like screw everyone over or like bring the company down. It's impossible. And like, that's just, that's too much investment, you know? But I want to like, you know, like if this is like a Jenga block, I want to at least pull one block out and make it a little bit unstable, you know? Cause I feel like I can't live with myself, but I can't like feel good about leaving if I didn't try to make it better for the next whoever's coming, you know what I mean? So basically, sorry, were you gonna say something?
I was gonna say, are you allowed or able to give an example of like yes. one injustice, just so like, you know, it feels a little vague, so I just get an idea of how bad things are.
I will launch into it right now. So personally, what happened to me was, my team, but my, like the leaders of my team. So one day we went for lunch and then they just started, someone made a pretty transphobic comment. And then suddenly every one of them, like the leaders of the team, decided, oh, well, we're going to take turns and say really horrible things, you know? And it was a bit like, what the fuck? This was supposed to be a team lunch, you know? And I was just so uncomfortable. And so I like kind of walked out. I was just like not in a good mood. And then later, a couple weeks later, I had a one-to-one with my manager. And then she was like, so how are things going? And I was like, generally things, I lied and said, oh yeah, everything's kind of fine. But, you know, there was, you know, morale has been down. And I mentioned this incident.
It was a game they were playing where like, we're going to take turns saying something really bad.
It wasn't a game. It just turned into that. Like, so they literally, every person went around the table, like saying something just really awful, like homophobic, transphobic. So
let's get an example of what they were saying, like some things that were thrown out there.
Okay. So basically it all started with someone mentioned, oh, there's this person, like they didn't say person. They were like, there's this guy with like hair. They like, they look weird. Like, and then my boss was like, yeah, I don't know what to call these people. Like, he, she, it, shit. And I was like, what the fuck, you know? And then I was just like, oh my God. And then everyone's like, yeah, like, there's some comments that were not as bad, but still you're like, you said, like, my manager's like, yeah, you know, these days you have to be so careful, you know, like, with all these, like, things. Like, what do you call them? Like, it was just all these things. And I was just like, because there was so much animosity and so like all of them kind of just ganging up and stuff. I was like, I'm not gonna be like, hey, stop. You know, I was just so uncomfortable. And then, but anyway, so then I later brought this back up and said
with old people, I get when they ask like, what do I call, you know, he or she, but mm-hmm. once you say shit, that's just like, that becomes unacceptable.
Yeah, and then I think my friend who was there was like, oh my God, that was awful, you know? And then, so I brought this up, and then my manager was like, oh, she was like kind of annoyed, and then she was like, okay, well, do you want me to talk to him? And I was like, you know what, I'll talk to him. And she's like, are you sure? I was like, yeah, like, let me talk to him first, and if for some reason I don't have the courage to bring it up, then you can say it, okay? And she's like, okay, fine. So after the one-to-one, I go to the bathroom, I come back, and she already fucking told him because I could see on their faces, my boss looked pissed, and then they were supposed, and then she kept saying, are you going to talk to, and they were speaking Spanish, but I can kind of understand.
Spanish?
So.
Are they Spaniards or?
They're actually from, so the main boss, he's from Chile, so they're from South America, and then one other, my manager, she grew up in South America as well, so, but she's Swiss, but they always speak Spanish to each other, which I could kind of understand, but then she basically kept saying, are you going to talk to her, and he was like, nah, you know, and that day, coincidentally, was my last day before going to London, so I was super busy running around, so I was like, you know what, I don't have the energy as well to like, I just want to get out of the office, you know? And then the first thing that happened when I got back from my trip, they had this intervention with me and my friend, and who's also the other intern. And it was just, like, so like, later in retrospect, I was like, that was super inappropriate. Like, it was two upper management ganging up on the two interns. Like, they literally were like, don't forget your interns. Like, know your place kind of thing. You're so ungrateful. We bent over backwards doing all this stuff for you. And then they kind of went off on me. And they were like, you know, you have to be more tolerant to other people's opinions and stuff. Like, and I was like, dude, and we both were like, can you please not talk about this stuff at work? It's so unprofessional. And they're like, what do you want? Like, you're just going to... I have to go to everyone and say, we can't talk about this stuff, you know? And then they're like, you know, it's your fault for letting this fester. Like, you should have stood up and said stuff. I was like, so you want me, I'm already super uncomfortable, and really, and to stand up and say, hey guys, don't talk about that. Like, yeah, you're supposed to, like, you have to tell us every time we're doing something wrong. We don't know. We're ignorant, you know? Like, you have to point it out. And I was like, what the fuck? Anyways, this thing, like, I was, like, crying because I was so frustrated, and they made me cry twice, and they were just super – they were just really vicious. And then my other friend who was there, she was, like – she felt really bad because she's, like, I'm sorry I didn't stand up more for you, but I was also very scared, you know? And I was just, like, that's, like, just really – just – you shouldn't – your employee shouldn't be, like, scared, you know? Yeah. And then –
And why are you – like, this – like, this is a – this is, like – what, dude, this is really fucked up. I mean, like, you, like, how are you the one getting chewed out?
Yeah. And they were saying, I'm not tolerant enough, you know? And I was like, whoa. I was like, whoa. I cannot. Never did I think. Like, I knew they were going to have intervention, and because they basically opened it up with saying, this is a red flag. This is a warning because you guys are spreading negativity in the team. And we're like, how are we doing that? And my boss kept saying, there's all the secrecy. There's a secrecy going on, you know, like, you're just gossiping and there's secrecy. And I was like, well, we talk to each other because we're friends. Like, what do you want us to do? He's like, he kept saying the secrecy, like some paranoid freak, you know, which I later realized, I think he was reading our chats because we just complained about him to each other, like venting. And I think he read everything, which I actually don't give a shit. Like, he knows we hate him, but later on, I was like, okay, let's stop talking about it on Slack, and let's, and then we had, like, deleted our messages and stuff. But I was like, you can't stop people. And he was like, before you even talk to her, you have to talk to me, tell it to my face. And I was like, in what world will someone, like, if I have a friend at work, why the fuck would I go to my boss, who is now my fucking enemy, and tell him all my shit? You know, it just felt really like some weird Big Brother stuff, you know? And then, like, so after that, and I know now, like, every time, so my friend and I, we talk to each other less in the office. Like, we still go to lunch together, but every time, even if we have a laugh, they get really pissed. Like, they get really, like, upset. And I'm like, dude, it's not even about work anymore, you know? It's about, like, you know, and I think, like, it's just, so my friend is, like, we're all, like, really upset. And, like, she was just telling me the other day, she was, like, crying and stuff at home. And it's just really bad. And then, so that was just our team. And then I found out recently, like, so many people quit. Like, and then basically the most fucked up thing, which I was like, damn, this company is so bad to, like, women. And basically if you're not a white man and stuff. Because apparently, like, the head of the company had an affair with one of the, like, a manager. And then when, I guess, something happened, so instead he fired her, you know? And then, which all made sense because, like, it was never clear. It was, like, really random. This person just left, like, really quickly. But it was kind of like, dude, like, you had the affair, and then to save your own ass, like you fired her. And apparently that happened. So I've been trying to find a way to report my manager. And then someone told me literally 2 days ago, like, oh yeah, actually a year ago, there was this, like, English woman who used to work on the team, and they tried to report your boss to HR because she was like, I don't like the way he treats me. I don't like the way he talks to me and stuff. And then she got fired, and then they promoted him.
What the?
And I was like, yeah, I was, because he brings in the money. And I can see now, like, he's working extra hard to, like, get us, like, to release this, release that, whatever. And so for me, I'm like, this is so fucked up. Like, this is, these people are getting rewarded for their terrible behavior. And I want, like, okay, I can't bring the company down, and that's not my intention, but I'm like, I want these people to, like, I'm basically now my angle. So I'm like, okay, if HR doesn't work, I'm trying to find like investigative, like journalism, you know, or like some weird reality TV show. I don't care anymore to just like come and do a like a spot on this company. You know, like, I'm just like, yeah. And also my friend was telling me, I mean, I can't do it now either because unfortunately we need the review, like the good review and from our management. And in Switzerland, they actually call your previous employers and stuff. So, yeah. But I was like, okay, once I get a job afterwards, you know, we'll see what happens. And I might contact some local news or so, even if it's like a tablet. I don't care. Like, it's just like, it's so, I was just like, fuck, I can't believe, like, this is happening. And, yeah. So, that's been my last, I would say, 4 months.
That is a whole lot of potatoes right there. Mm-hmm. Good, dude. And so are you gonna stay there until you find another job?
So the good thing is I'm an intern, and my internship's gonna end, I think. And at first I was like, because they were kind of like, they would keep me on, I think. I don't know about now, because they don't like, the thing is though, they definitely hate my friend more because she doesn't take shit. And that's what, and me, I'm a bit more like, I just kind of keep my head down a little bit. And then when they confront me, then I like go off on them and stuff. But I'm kind of too valuable to just let go. But that's another thing that pissed me off. Like, they've exploited me, you know, also, because apparently they keep me as an intern in hopes that I will learn something, but I'm actually not even doing the stuff I want to learn. Like, I have nothing to put in my portfolio. I'm actually doing a side project right now just to have something, because nothing I've done here in this company I can share, because it's just not good. Yeah. So it's, then you start to realize shit, like they're just giving me all this grunt work. And then they, and then my friend, oh, well, this guy at work yesterday, he was, or a couple days ago, he was like, so you work full-time as an intern, right? And I was like, yeah. He's like, yeah, they're saving so much money because of you. Because the thing is, they pay me less, but they give me a lot of stuff to do, you know? So, and I'm like, so before I was like, oh, I'll just stay until I find something better. But now I'm just gonna, if I can leave earlier, I'm gonna do that. If not, I'll just finish the internship and then see what happens. But my goal, so these days I've been just working on this my portfolio just to have one project. But since it's like, now I'm doing user experience, it's no longer just visual, so it's a lot of writing. So I've been writing, it feels like I'm writing this paper, you know. So that's pretty much what I've been doing. Yeah, but ideally I want to, like, the new year, I want to leave. If I can, I just want to get out of there. Yeah.
And, you know, maybe just like, you know, make a little gas leak right before you leave and walk out.
Yeah. Like, seriously, I'm like, I want to break. I was like, yeah, like, yesterday we were out with dinner and then with my friend and her boyfriend, he was like, you know, you should just like key his car. Like, he deserves, like, or just slash his tires. And I was like, yeah, I would love to do that. But I think he takes a train to work, so. But yeah.
You know, do something, I don't know, put the X-lax in his coffee or something.
Oh, yeah. Oh, my God. I should do stuff like that. Like, at this point, I'm like, I'm ready to just fuck shit up.
Yeah.
And how are you?
Well, not the... I mean, not that bad. I had been really sick the past couple weeks. Some pretty gnarly stuff that kind of got serious. But everything's okay now. So, you know, there's that. I'm just kind of a little shocked. I'm just taking in the whole thing you just told me right now. That's just
okay.
That's just like holy shit. Like,
yeah.
You know, I'm always like, is that normal in Switzerland to be that kind of
like that? I don't, I don't think so. Like, that's why I feel like everyone, when they hear this, is like, where the fuck do you work? You know, like, it's like a shit show. It's like drama every day. I think, I mean, like, you hear the general complaints, like Daniel's, like, his boss says, like, sexist comments, you know, and, like, I mean, the normal shit that you're just, like, it's annoying, but you can get on with your life type of thing. But I feel like I haven't heard so much scandal. And the thing is, so this company is big, but our market, it's, like, 50 people. It's so small. So you're just, like, I can't believe all this happened in this space. Like, it's just because in our last company it was like way bigger, and yeah, there's always going to be crap, you know, that happens, but just like I haven't even survived a year. Like, after my honeymoon 6 months, they were like, all right, she's here, we got her for, you know, another 6 months, let's just be ourselves now. And it's like, oh my god, you know. And it's just crazy. Yeah,
I think there is a line, like, because especially if you're living in a different country, I definitely, like, when you say, like, little annoying stuff, like, I remember when you first moved there, you told me how you went to a festival and there was, like, people in blackface there.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And personally, I actually did not, when you told me, I haven't seen it, but I did not think that was that bad, because I think when it's cultural stuff like that, I personally don't think it's a good idea to hold other countries to American standards. You know, especially since they don't have the same kind of history as we do. Mm-hmm. And at that point, like, you know, those kind of morals, it kind of leads into, like, is there a definitive morality or is it a cultural mm-hmm. thing? And mm-hmm. so when people, like, even in China, when people are mad at Chinese people about certain beliefs, like, I'm like, you know, mm-hmm. I personally don't think it's right to hold other countries. You can't say American morality is the right way, even if this offends us, mm-hmm. you know, like, this is like, like, you know, we can't, but, and even if little things like that bother us, but when you told me what he's, but then there's a line where, like, you know what, that's just straight up like fucked up, you know, calling trans people like shit, mm-hmm. you know, and even when people do, because I've seen situations where people have said something that bad, and when they're called out on it, instead of getting defensive or saying, you gotta, like, they actually apologize and, like, oh, mm-hmm. I did not realize I said that. Like, I'm so sorry. Like, or, like, or they learn from it at least. But, like, God, that guy from Chile.
Yeah. Like, and, he was like, it's cultural differences. I was like, look, honestly, because I had said I've never been in a workplace where it was so, people said such, it was just unprofessional. Like, you don't talk about certain, like, I know, like, you hear certain things sometimes and they've said stuff, and in passing, I'm like, once in a while, it's whatever. I'll just ignore it. I'll tolerate ignorance, you know, but the thing is, it was like a fucking circle of shit that people were doing, and they, because management doing it, it felt like they were encouraging others to do it. And then when we said, can you not talk about that anymore? They said, like, what, so you're gonna, like, monitor what we say? Like, this was a team lunch. It was supposed, it's just, like, casual. I was like, dude, this is the word, like, what kind of, in what world was this a fun topic of discussion? You know what I mean? And, like, I just felt it was so warped and so, like, and I almost felt like they just, yeah, they were just defending their own, like, okay, if it's cultural, what, like, whatever, but it's like, if someone says, hey, I'm not okay with that and it makes me uncomfortable, then you should just at least respect the other person, like, you know, and maybe just
don't be a dick and be like, oh shit, I'm sorry. Yeah.
Yeah, or, like, fine, take your shitty conversation elsewhere, you know? But instead they're like, no, you must suffer, and then you must call us out on it so we can shame you in public in a group setting, you know what I mean? It's just like, this is just, like, I think I bet my friend, so my friend who was there, she actually studied psychology, and she was like, yeah, what they did to you was called, it was psychological abuse. Like, they were just going after you because I was a weaker link, because my friend is a lot more, but actually, to be fair, she already had, a week before, the boss already gave her her first red flag, and she cried in that meeting. So I think the second time she was a bit less emotional, but so I think because of that, she was like, it was super weird. They kept looking at you. And I think it's because they saw me as a weaker link, which was even more fucked up. And to be honest, like, it sounds kind of bad and sad, but I think I've been through so many of these things now that, of course, in the moment, I'm really upset and I'm crying and stuff. But when I leave, I'm not as, like, I mean, I was pretty upset about it, but I can kind of, like, get through my day, you know? I'm not as, like, weighed down by it. I'm now just more angry, if anything. So it's almost like I'm used to it. Or not, I don't say used to it, but more I've just kind of grown a thicker skin and I can deal with it now. But at the same time, I'm just like, yeah, I felt like this is beyond cultural difference. This is beyond like beliefs. This is just like you are mistreating people. You're abusing people. It was really like I was like, wow, that was power play. Like two upper management attacking the two lowest people in their team. If you think about it, like hierarchically speaking, I was like, that's just so unfair. Like you can't win, you know? And because they're going to use their power over, they used fear. They used every tactic in the book kind of thing. And at the end of the day, they know we can't leave because we need the money. You know what I mean? It's all like just really fucked up shit. And I was looking at the people who had left the company, and it's really sad. It's all these people who need this job and they were fired because they couldn't handle it, whereas upper management continued to just do really shitty work but get paid and stay, get promoted and all that stuff. And yeah.
I don't think the company is too bright. I mean, I don't think the future is too bright for that company. Like eventually it's going to collapse. Because like,
yeah, it's like I see it as a sinking ship. But rather than, like, let's just try to, like, everyone, let's just, like, the ship is sinking, so let's just everyone have a good time and drink and whatever. It's like, let's just fuck it up even more, you know? Like, actually, I was reading about Caesar, not Julius Caesar, but there was, like, another Caesar before. And he was this basically tyrant, and he fucked up Rome. Like, Rome was burning for weeks because he was just so, like, a big man child. And I was like, oh, that reminds me of my boss. Like, exactly. Like, he's just... Now he's literally ruining everything because he's just like, he thinks it's funny. He's like, oh, I'm going to develop stuff. I'm going to learn how to code. And he's basically dismantled all the work that our developers worked on. You know, I was like, that's so rude to like go into your, this is not what you studied. And you go in and just play around and fuck everything up. And then all your employees' hard work. And then but at this point, I'm like, yeah, fuck it up. You know, everyone's going to leave. So, whatever.
Whew. Well, fuck that guy. Fuck that guy, yeah. Hard. Like, Jesus Christ.
Yeah, I'm like, I just want karma to hit him. I want something really bad to happen to him. Like, yeah, and if I have to be the person to start it, I gladly will. I will gladly be that catalyst.
Burn that shit down.
Yeah, burn it to the ground. Yeah.
So, guys, it's Christmas time now.
Christmas! On a positive time. Are you doing anything special?
I am getting some time off for like maybe like 5 days. So I don't know. I might either. So I don't know if I'm gonna stay in Beijing and you know do just hang out with friends, or maybe just do something very un-Christmassy and go to like somewhere else, like go somewhere in China.
Yeah.
First of all, it's warm, and you know, yeah. So I'm gonna spend next week just thinking about what I want to do.
Mm-hmm.
You know, start watching some Christmas movies this coming week.
Mm-hmm.
Get that in.
Yeah. So I started. So this year we're spending our first Swissmas. Me and Daniel.
2019.
Yeah. Yeah, and at first I was really sad about it because I'm so used to like my big family Christmas parties. I was like stressing about it, and now I realize, you know what? It's great. We're starting our own tradition. You know, it's gonna be cute. It's gonna be cozy. And then I wanted to do like, yeah, like kind of this Halloween thing I was doing where I want to watch a Christmas movie every year. I usually tend to do it, like you just do it. But this time I was like, oh, I want to watch something I haven't. And so this year, you know, on Netflix, there's this movie called Klaus. And apparently everyone's talking about it. Everyone's watching it. And there's like, it's really good. So that's my Christmas movie of the year, which I haven't seen yet, but I will watch it.
Klaus. I've actually never heard of it.
It's, let me just look it up. It's an animated movie. And yeah, I guess it was on Netflix. I mean, we don't have Netflix. We just stream stuff, but yeah, like I think yeah, that Daniel was like, let's watch this for the Christmas movie. So I was like, yeah, sure. And another friend just watched it yesterday, and then she was saying, yeah, like, it was really good. So maybe check it out. Maybe, if you want to.
Mm-mm. Well, if we're going to have one Christmas movie each, I think maybe they should be different Christmas movies.
Okay. So, you're like, it's going to be...
it's going to be... it's actually a classic, but I've never watched it before.
Hmm.
National Lampoon's Christmas Vacation.
Ooh, I have not watched any National Lampoon movies.
None.
None.
Really? Not even like new ones, like Van Wilder.
No.
I guess like are not. I mean, that's old too, but like our generation. or really, you've never even seen like Animal House.
No.
No. Wow.
Wait. I might have seen Animal House, but it was so long ago, and I don't remember anything.
Okay, so maybe that's one. Mm-hmm. Christmas Vacation is like a, I think it's an 80s, or I think it's Chevy Chase.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So I think I watched it when I was a kid when I was on TV, but I've never seen it. But, like, you know, it's actually rated R, so I've never seen it with all the good stuff, like, put in. And I guess it's like the 80s version of... almost like Bad Santa, like an adult Christmas movie.
Okay.
So, and I might try to watch a couple more, like Gremlins, but like, I never go as hard for Christmas like I do for Halloween, where I watch that many Christmas movies.
I mean, I think it's totally different. Like, during, I don't know, like Christmas movies tend to kind of be, I'm like prejudging, but like, I mean... unless it's, like, the adult ones, it's, like, wholesome, you know? And I'm like, I don't want to watch that much, like, wholesome stuff. So,
yeah. And then there's somebody just, like says, I'm not going to see my family for Christmas. I definitely don't want to watch Home Alone. Like, I think that'll just get me depressed.
Aww.
Like,
aww.
No, and I'm not depressed about it now, but I think it'll, like, unnecessarily make me want, you know?
Like, yeah, yeah.
So, you know, I'm sticking to, like, the kind of, like, you know, Gremlins and Die Hard.
Yeah.
I should try watching Die Hard 2, finally. I've never seen that one. And there's this old, I don't know, maybe it's a Swiss movie. I'm not sure. There's this old, it's called, let me see, it's called Rare Exports. Have you ever seen that one?
Rare Exports, no.
Let me see, Rare Exports. Let's see. Where is this movie from? Oh, it's Finnish.
Ah. Wait, is it like a scary movie or?
It looks
scary.
It is a horror film. So basically the plot says, like, a young boy named Pitari and his friend Juuso think a secret mountain drilling project near their home in northern Finland has uncovered the tomb of Santa Claus. However,
okay, that sounds pretty cool.
However, this monstrous evil Santa, much unlike the cheery Saint Nick. Oh no! However, this is the monstrous evil Santa, much unlike the cheery Saint Nick of legend. When Pitari's father captures a feral old man in his wolf trap, the man may hold the key to why reindeer are being slaughtered and children are disappearing.
Okay, that sounds cool.
Yeah. So they find the real Santa, like the legend, and it's evil.
I like that. Okay, I'm going to put that on my watch list.
Yeah. And I haven't been meaning to watch it for like ever. Like, it came out in 2010, and I just never got around to it.
I just thought, so I was like, ooh, maybe I can make it more broad. And so for Christmas, you can just watch like anything that's snowy. So because of what came to mind was Snowpiercer, which I still haven't seen.
Oh, you've never seen Snowpiercer yet?
No, I remember you told me, and I was like, "Yeah, I'm gonna watch it." And I never did, but then that would be good because it's about snow. Well, not snow, but you know, the word snow is in the title, so it's very wintry. And so, yeah, you could like I could broaden my. So it doesn't have to be Christmas. It could be like wintertime / Christmas / holiday / whatever, you know. And yeah,
that's a good one. You know, It's John Hurt is in it. Chris Evans is in it.
Mm-hmm.
It's technically a Korean movie. It's a very interesting, unique setting. So
okay.
Basically, Yeah, and it's a cool action movie. And I know you've said before you only love Chris Evans when he's Captain America.
Yes.
He's not Captain America in this one, of course, but he's very Captain America-ish.
Okay.
Like he plays.
I think I will like that.
Yeah, he plays a pure good guy, so yeah. Mm-hmm.
Okay. I don't even know if I added that to my watch list. Snowpiercer. Yeah.
So I had one more movie recommendation for you. You might have seen this one though. It came out like a long, long time ago. It's called Wrist Cutters.
Ooh, I saw you watched it on Facebook, and that was also on my list from like back in the day when I was like emo and stuff, and I still haven't seen it.
It is exactly. It was like, and it was like when I was like really into like indie movies and like you know like I was like an indie kid. Like that's when it came out in 2006. So okay. And I remember everyone was recommending it, and okay, so. Okay, first of all, watch the noodle movie first. But
okay.
this one is like amazing. So basically, I'll put here is the description. After breaking up with his girlfriend Zia kills himself and wakes up in a bland purgatory populated by other suicides. So basically, when he kills himself, instead of just dying, you end up in this other world where everyone who committed suicide lives, and it's just it's basically almost like living like. In San Bernardino County. It's just bland and desert and boring and like. And when he gets there, he takes a job at Kamikaze Pizza and befriends a Russian rocker named Eugene while trying to make the best of his very dull afterlife. Learning that his ex-girlfriend also killed herself, Zia embarks on a road trip with Eugene to find her, picking up a feisty hitchhiker along the way. So basically, it's a road trip movie in the desert.
Mm-hmm. Okay, sounds cool.
And it's just really weird. It's, you know, it's really quirky. Tom Waits is in it. Will Arnett's in it. So it's a really good cast. And it's like it feels very. It makes you realize how old I am because 2006 feels old as fuck in this movie. Like you could see the super mid 2000s. You know, in your mind, I don't know. At least in my mind, when I think of the 2000s, I always think of the 90s when I think of old modern. But now, like 2006 has a very distinct. Like it feels it completely. It's amazing.
I can feel that right now. Like I think it's gonna take me back. And I'm going to remember, because I was thinking in 2006, that was when I graduated from high school. No, I graduated in 2005, so it was my first year in college, you know? And yeah. This is like, maybe, I think because I heard of this movie, but I might have not watched it because I was like too real just by the title or something. So I was like, I'm not going to watch it. But I forgot about this movie until you posted it on Facebook. And I was like, oh.
Yeah, one of my friends called me out. Like, you're barely watching it now? Like, what the fuck?
So many movies, you know?
I'm gonna throw one more. This is not more of a recommendation. This is more of a project that I did when I was, like, sick. I embarked on a journey and, for the first time ever, watched every single Fast and the Furious movie.
Oh my God. I haven't seen it either. I have not seen a single Fast and Furious movie.
I had seen only part two when I was like a teenager. And then I saw the one that the last one Paul Walker did. And it was because I was curious to see how they would like do the CGI and everything. Mm-hmm. And so one of my favorite YouTube channels, you know, usually he does film reviews, really about nerdy stuff like Star Wars and anime and video games. And then either video like about like how I became a Fast and the Furious fan, and you can too. Okay. so he sold me on it, and I was like, you know what? I'm gonna watch them all. So I'm just gonna throw this out. Like, the first three are very much drag racing movies. It's like, oh, actually, Fast and the Furious Part One is actually like a ripoff of Point Break.
Oh,
it's like,
which
it's like,
I watched recently, by the way. Watched a year ago, I think.
Yes, me too. Mm-hmm. We talked about it on the podcast, and basically,
oh yes.
Yeah, so you know, Paul Walker is a cop. He goes undercover into the street racing scene to find out who's been robbing trailer trucks. It's just basically instead of surfing and robbing banks, just like these cars. Yeah, and instead of a very Malibu scene, they're like kind of like they're kind of like almost like on the east side of LA, East LA kind of thing. You know, like Vin Diesel and all his friends. It's very multicultural, and they all drink Coronas. And you know, a lot of early 2000s rap, and that movie felt like super early 2000s. Everyone is like wearing baggy clothes, and you know, like people have like tipped hair, like, you know, like blonde tipped hair. Like it is crazy. And so there's part one, and then part two is Tyrese, and part three is Tokyo Drift, and and then part four comes back when they bring Vin Diesel back, and it's a little bit like more action oriented, but still very centered around cars. And then part five comes, and that's when like The Rock comes, and he kind of hijacks the series a little bit, and it becomes like this super heist like action series. All the main characters, all the original cast, they all become almost like superheroes. Like they all know like martial arts all of a sudden, and they're traveling the world, and they're taking down like huge drug kingpins. And there's like you know, Ludacris is in part two, and he's just this guy who like parties a lot in Miami in part two, and he's like the party scene guy, and he owns like the best car shop. Part five, he's like this super hacker all of a sudden. He's hacking into like government systems, and they're like, oh, "How do you know this?" Like, it's like, "I had a life before you knew me, bro." It's like the evolution is amazing, but it's like it's become like dumb fun almost. It's like just like a fun action movie to watch. Like,
So would you recommend this journey to somebody who
I had no interest
before?
I would highly recommend it because now like Jason Statham is in this series now. And he becomes he's a bad guy in one movie, and in a lot of these movies, the bad guys become their friends by the next one, and like
okay,
there's one where like Vin Diesel turns evil, and they have to find out why, and there's one where like a helicopter is shooting people down, and like they get a chain and hook it up, and like The Rock holds back a helicopter with his pure strength alone. Like,
wow. Okay.
Yeah.
My interest is piqued.
The YouTube guy on Describe the Series is like, could you relate to this? Because you guys watch a lot of anime now, right? So he said he kind of said like Fast and the Furious is basically an anime, and that like the first three movies is like the bad first season or the boring first arc where you just got to get through it, and it's all the character building, and then like by this, you know, and it's kind of slow, and then by the fourth one you get the second arc, and that's where like everything gets super like fun to watch.
Yeah, I see that. I totally see that. Okay.
But I would say even though the first three aren't as fun to watch, being from LA, I think you would get more of a kick out of it because it is like super LA, like, you know, it's just you'll just notice everything like is LA as fuck, and it's like and not like in a not in a like once a t- once in a like once upon a time in Hollywood way, like a real LA kind of way.
Yeah, I think I would like that. I feel like especially now that I've been away from it, it's just nostalgic to see anything, especially if you say it's East LA, then
it's
East LA,
but it's also like San Gabriel Valley, like the main bad guys, the main villains in the first one is like a Vietnamese gang, like.
Okay, sold.
Yeah,
takes me back home, you know. So,
and like you know, like he has like rich parents, and like Paul Walker does an FBI raid. It's crazy, like, and like they do a drive by, like it's like super LA, like it is like, and it's like it's all it's like you're it's like yeah like it is it's an awesome movie.
Okay. You convinced me right there. When you mentioned SGV, I'm like, oh my god, it's my hood.
Like, they don't say SGV when they go, but you, it's like, you know, like, you know, it's like, you're just like, oh, I know where they are. And they're like, oh, and like,
that's awesome.
And then, like, and then, like, Vin Diesel, he lives, like, in, like, where does he live? He lives in a, what is it? Not, what is it? The party in East LA? One of the Heights. Not Hacienda Heights, the other one.
Boyle Heights?
Yeah, so, yeah. So, like, Vin Diesel lives in Boyle Heights. So I was like, God, we have to walk all the way to Boyle Heights now.
Oh, my God. Is there anyone from, like, Alhambra? I would love that.
And, okay. So actually, like, the whole series, so yeah, I went through like all, it's a lot of movie, and I'll be honest, by the end of it, I did get a little exhausted, because like a lot of like super action, but it is like.
Wait, so how long did this journey take you? Like full week, I mean, or like?
I knocked them out like in like 2 weeks. Like, I mean, they were fun to watch, and like they didn't quite, so I plowed through them, but after I finished, like, I took a break in the middle, and I was like, you know what? I put on wrist cutters because I just needed to watch something. I needed to watch something a little different just to like you know, rest,
cleanse the palate, you know.
yeah. And then I got back and I finished it, but now Kurt Russell's in the series. Like it's crazy. Like Charlie's.
Wait, Theron, is this still happening?
Yeah, like. They're making another one. So they had like set, there's like 8 Fast and the Furious movies now, and then this year a spinoff called Hobbs and Shaw with The Rock and Jason Statham came out with their own movie. And now there's like a Fast and the Furious cinematic universe happening now. And
oh my goodness.
And I think part 9 is coming out this year, and it's supposed to like end with part 10, and that's supposed to be like the last one.
Okay. They say that, and then like in 2 years, like, actually.
Well, I know they're definitely going to have like a Rock and Jason Statham sequel, because that one kind of ends with like unfinished business too.
Okay. All right. You convinced me to watch this, so I'll do it.
You know, if you're into like racing in the beginning and then globe trotting espionage in the end.
This is for you. Yeah.
This turned into quite the movie centric episode.
Yeah. It's been what did I watch recently? Oh, actually, so we haven't been watching as many movies, but we did. So we started watching The Mandalorian.
Oh,
have you seen it?
I watched it this afternoon.
Wait, I didn't finish it. Okay, I didn't finish it yet.
It's not finished yet. I mean, every episode is coming out.
I don't know which episode. I think we're on episode 4 as well.
Oh,
so we haven't seen it. Maybe. Actually, did we watch episode 4? I think we did, but I don't know. I'm not sure.
Did it involve saving a village?
No.
Okay. So you are on episode 3 then, I think.
Okay. What do you think about it?
Okay, let's talk. Okay, spoilers, people watching it right now. Dive into the spoilers if you haven't seen The Mandalorian. I actually think The Mandalorian right now might be like my favorite new Star Wars content since Return of the Jedi.
Oh, wow.
Like,
okay.
I'm just like, or I don't know, but also it's fresh, and maybe this new movie coming out next month is going to change everything, but it feels completely different than any other Star Wars. The music is different. It's almost like, it's almost like a samurai movie / Western. Of like,
yeah, I get that.
And then also kind of reminded me, like, you know, in the 90s, kind of like Xena and Hercules, like just episodic and going to a new place and helping people every, like, it feels very like, I like how it's like not like Game of Thrones, where it's a big arc. I like how it's very episodic, first of all. That's very fun. It's like something different with kind of like an overarching story, but it's not, it's still mainly episodic. And
I also just realized I did see episode 4. Oh, you did? Yeah. I was like, oh, wait. Yeah, they saved a village in that one. Okay.
Which, that was like, I mean, that went so deep into the character. Like, that was so cool.
Mm.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, dude. It's making, like, that era after Return of the Jedi seem really interesting. How, like, the Empire fell, but now there's Imperial warlords. And mm-hmm. kind of the criminals are taking over, like, the outer parts of the galaxy.
Mm-hmm.
And like, Mandalorian culture is very interesting.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm really impressed how they've gone this far without, like, him taking off his mask.
Yeah, I think, because, again, I'm, like, still, I don't know as much about Star Wars, like, the lore behind it and stuff. So, for me, it's, like, I'm, like, what is a Mandalorian? Well, I'll find out from watching the series. And, it's been, and I also like, it's, like, it's not slow, but because it's, like, episodes, it kind of, the pace feels very, I like it. It's kind of, it's not like, boom, 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 action, action. You know, there's a time for, like, you know, some dialogues and, like, you know, and you introduce them to, like, new species, I guess, new planets and all these things. So, I like it.
So one interesting tidbit, since you don't know a lot about Mandalorians, mm-hmm. you do know there's a Star Wars animated series called The Clone Wars, right?
Yes.
So basically, it's interesting because the Clone Wars actually happened on the planet Mandalore. And on that planet, basically, Obi-Wan is actually in love with the Queen of Mandalore. They had a mission when they were young. So that's like, the Queen is like Obi-Wan's lost love. And kind of like when Darth Maul comes back, he takes over the planet with his crime syndicate. You know, they mentioned that in Solo a little bit. The Solo movie. Mm-hmm. It's interesting because on that cartoon show, Mandalorians take their helmets off all the time. Like, no big deal. So, and then the lore goes into, like, when the Empire comes, they kind of ravage their planet and kind of, like, kill a lot of their race. So I'm wondering how, like, this became a new thing where they just don't take their helmets. Maybe it's not letting outsiders in or... I'm waiting to see how that fits into it now. It's really interesting.
Actually, so I was a little bit confused at first. So the woman, so you know how he goes onto the planet and then he sees that he goes into that cafe.
Bar?
Whatever. Bar. And then he sees that woman and then he says they like knew each other. So for some reason I thought she was a retired Mandalorian, but I'm guessing she wasn't.
Well,
they just worked together?
She said she was a retired rebel.
Ah, okay.
And I think she's a retired rebel who kind of like, she quit the rebellion because, you know, they won. And so she kind of became like a, kind of like a bounty hunter.
Ah, okay. Yeah, so I think I'm still kind of figuring out the timeline. Like, because I don't remember like what period, because now I know, okay, because of Baby Yoda, I know, okay, this is a long time ago. So, but I don't know, like, where this, fits in yet. So I think I'm just still kind of, like, using this series as I'm learning about it, basically, say. Yeah, like, when, also, like, because I know about the Rebellion, but then now, I think also now because of all these new movies that are taking place in, like, random times, I'm getting really confused with the timeline.
So it takes place, 5 years after Return of the Jedi.
After Return of the Jedi?
Yeah, so, 5 years after. So that means it's about 25 years before The Force Awakens.
Wait, so that's not Baby Yoda.
No, so everyone, you got confused about the internet is calling it Baby Yoda, but it's just they're calling it Baby Yoda because in Star Wars lore, Yoda's species does not have a name. No one knows what race Yoda is. He's actually the only creature in Star Wars where his species does not have a name at all. So, you know, Chewbacca is a Wookiee, Ewoks, but like Yoda is just Yoda. No one knows what he is. So that's why everyone is calling it Baby Yoda, but it's not Yoda.
Oh my God. Okay, so I think that's what was so confusing because they were like, the Empire, like, so I was like, wait, so this happens after, but then Baby Yoda's little and like, but babe, like, you know, so when you say it's after Return of Jedi, I was like, how's that possible? Oh my God, mind blown. I have to share this information with Daniel later. That's why they call it the child. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
There are theories, though, that it could possibly be a clone.
Okay.
So that is one. So if that is, then technically it would be Baby Yoda. That maybe that's why mm-hmm. that. Because remember, like in episode 2 and 3, those Imperial warlords people, they wanted him for some reason.
Yeah.
Yeah. So that could be a possibility, but yeah. I mean, Baby Yoda has kind of taken over the world. these past couple.
Yeah.
Weeks.
So many memes. Yeah, and it's like really cute. Oh. But then now I feel like, okay, I want to watch Return of the Jedi because I just forget. And I think also, yeah, because the new ones, and then you know how, like, they have the new movies with, like, Rey, and then, like, then they had Rogue One, which took place before. So I think for me, it's, like, a lot of jumping around. So I'm getting, like, I'm just getting so confused. But,
And if you're not, like, okay. into Star Wars, like I'm sure if they did that with Harry Potter, you'd be like, oh, it takes place here. I know this. It takes place here. Like, mm-hmm. like mm-hmm. since like, you know, Star Wars is like my religion. I'm like, oh yeah, I get it. Okay.
Yeah, like I think we both didn't like. We're like, it's Baby Yoda. For some reason, they don't call him that. You know. oh my God! Wow, this is just like mind-blowing information. So cool. Thanks for the tip.
Yeah, for sure. That's why it was like a big cliffhanger because like no one ever thought there was like. Any other Yoda of like there's no other thing of his species been like it's like oh shit there's another God. There's another one
mm-hmm. oh I mean in a way that's good because there weren't really spoilers then because he's just trending as a figure but not like I don't know people weren't saying because I didn't get any of that from yeah
but so cool. the show is great. I mean, I love that second episode where he's like, you know, those little Jawas, the little hooded guys, and he's just blasting them out. Oh, yeah. and like, you know, like for not having his face at all, like Pedro Pascal, right? He's like, yeah. He's doing a really good job just making him like a likable character. I was thinking it might be hard to get into him like that, but mm-hmm. not really.
Yeah, actually, we had to look up, like, the first thing I did after watching the first episode was, like, who's under the mask, you know? And we couldn't figure it out at first because there were other actors. And then the second episode, when it was just him and the other guy that were credited, and you're like, oh, it's Pedro Pascal. And I did not expect that. Also, then, my next question is, then is Boba Fett a Mandalorian? Is it wear a similar suit?
So, this is where... It gets a little confusing. So, remember in the prequels, Boba Fett is a clone of Jango Fett.
Ah, yes. Uh-huh.
And no one actually in Jango Fett was... So, you know, Jango Fett is like the template for all the clone troopers.
Uh-huh.
So no one actually really knows for sure if Jango Fett was a Mandalorian... Or if he would, or he's just a bounty hunter who's wearing Mandalorian armor.
Like, okay. Does he ever take off his helmet?
Yeah, he does all the time.
Okay.
Well, Boba Fett. We never see Boba Fett take off his helmet.
Okay.
Since Boba Fett, Boba Fett is not a clone. He's just he's like the best. He's in like the universe. He's the greatest bounty hunter ever. But mm-hmm. I think it's pretty much accepted. That he wears Mandalorian armor, but he's not one. Of course, they can make a story anytime and say he was, but as of like right now, him and Jango Fett are probably not Mandalorian.
Okay, very interesting. Also, we started watching. Like Dan was like, "Oh, let's watch it," you know, because it's like everyone's watching it. And then, so I didn't know, but Jon Favreau wrote the story.
Yeah, I believe he's producing the whole series.
Because it said, like, yeah, he's producing, but it also said, like, written by Jon Favreau.
Yeah.
And I'm just very impressed by this guy. He's very, a very smart guy.
I mean, wow. you know, he's, like, the one who started all the Marvel movies.
I did not know that.
Because he directed Iron Man 1.
Mm-hmm. Oh, I knew that. But then, yeah. But also, what was impressive was just that, like, it was so different, you know, like that. And all his movies, like his, like, so the first time I saw him was in Swingers. And then I know he was in, like, I watched the one with about the wine. Was he in that one? I forget. I remember was he?
It's Paul Giamatti.
Fuck. Okay.
Yeah.
But then he did the chef thing. And so it's just like, it's very broad, like different subjects, but it's like the same person. So I was like, wow, like very impressive. I did not know he did that, but yeah.
So overall, how are you liking The Mandalorian though? Like, what are you like? Of course, Baby Yoda is amazing, but how are you guys liking it? You and Daniel.
Well, we like it, but I think because I don't know as much about the history and stuff, like I find it just pleasant. Like when I watch it, I'm like, it's pleasant, you know. And I want to just know what happens, and knowing that it was something that's coming out every episode per week, right? Like we couldn't binge watch it, and so. Yeah, but at the moment I enjoy it. I haven't really formed. And I think now that you answered my question, I think I might view the next episode very differently. Because yeah, I think also I was very kind of confused, like what was the timeline, like what's going on. So a lot of it was like just kind of watching it and see what was happening, but not knowing what the repercussions were, like, you know, like consequences and like all this stuff. So yeah, that's why I was like, well, it's pleasant because I like it, but I don't really know what I'm watching and like, you know, where this is going. And now it's like, oh, okay.
It's supposed to be like taking place in a time of like, you know, the empire. So the government just fell and now the new government mm-hmm. is trying to like build. So it's kind of, everything's kind of chaotic at that time.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Yeah. And then, but I also like it when people just go off on their own journey. Like, actually, I started watching, so yesterday, we took the day off because we had our Christmas party on Thursday. And so my friend and I were like, let's just take Friday off. And so I just stayed at her place. And then we started watching, Howl's Moving Castle, which I realized I've only seen once and I don't remember anything. So we ended up not finishing it. Because we ran out of time, so I don't forget what happened in the ending. But what I did like about it, which now reminds me kind of the Mandalorian, is like she was just like, oh shit, I'm just gonna go away, and just like leaves, you know, and then like makes her own journey. And I really like that when the main character is just like, fuck it, I have to go, you know, and I don't know where I'm going, but I'm gonna have to get out of here. And then the journey begins, and I'm like, yeah, that's cool.
You gotta finish it though, it's a great movie.
Yeah. So I was supposed to, I wanted to come home and finish it, but then I was so tired yesterday. So I probably will finish it today. And also like, cause I think the first time I watched it dubbed. So I didn't like it that much. And then now my friend's like, no, you got to watch it. Obviously subbed, of course. And I think, so I was like, yeah. And then, yeah, it's really good. And I remember I kept saying, cause we were supposed to leave to like meet the guys for dinner, but I was like, oh, 10 more minutes, 10 more minutes. She's like, no, we're not even halfway yet. So it's like, or we're like only halfway. So I was like, okay, fine. Then we could go. But yeah.
I mean, it, you know, in the dubs version's defense, in the English version, Christian Bale is voicing Howl. And
I knew that, and I think I knew that, but then for some reason it didn't have the same like oomph, you know, when you watch anime in Japanese. It's just something like
And then like also the fire is played by Billy Crystal.
Oh yeah, I remember. So the like the only things I remembered from the movie before was the fire, the cow's fur, and the dog. But I totally forgot the dog was from the, you know, but anyways, I forgot a lot of things. But I was like, oh, this is a cool movie. And
but yeah, yeah, when in doubt, you know, whenever you're watching a foreign movie, it's better. I always say it's better to watch in the original language.
Yes. It just feels right. It felt like I was enjoying it just way more. I also think I've watched I don't remember how old I was when I watched it, but, and then being like, meh, and not really getting, understanding, you know, the new one. Like, I totally forgot it was about war and all this stuff, you know, so, yeah. Yeah.
All right, we've got quite the movie list now.
Yep.
So
series.
I got to run to get some Mexican food, meeting up. Mm-hmm.
I have to eat.
What are you going to eat?
I have no idea. Breakfast.
Well, guys,
and then we have to do shopping. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
If you guys want to know what Paige eats, you know, go on Instagram and check out @feckinghungry.
Yes. Yes, I'll make a post just for that.
So you know, I wanted to throw out, Michael is starting a podcast.
Is he?
Yes.
What is it called?
I'm pulling it up here. He told last night he was editing his first episode. It's with a friend of his. It's called, here's the description. You guys could go on Anchor or any other podcast, you know, app that you choose. It's called Them, That, and This. Them, That, and This.
Them, That, and This.
Embark on a Embark on a comedic and dramatic journey with Michael and Faith as they talk about nothing and everything. Mm-hmm. Nobody's holding anything back here. It's all on the table.
I like that. I like that. Cool.
And actually, for Michael's musings for this episode, you know, Michael has an Instagram now. He finally
stopped on. Oh, shit. Okay.
Yeah. Uh-huh. So if you want to follow Michael, he's a Michael Roke, 1989. And this is where he's posting more these days. So he has quite the hilarious Instagram posts. So I guess we need visuals for this a little because it's a picture. So it's a picture of him pointing his camera down his balcony, and there's like an overweight bald man with an oversized T-shirt outside in the front. And this is what his post was. I've captured him. My building scumbag handyman fuck, Ahmed. Here I am trying to gracefully trying to swan dive from the tomb, from the, oh, okay, sorry. I was just trying to put, well, it was weird. Okay. Here I am gracefully swan diving from the womb to the tomb, and this fuck just comes into my proximity. Tumbling through the air with greasy fucking shawarma in one hand and a sad, possibly suicidal prostitute in the other. Don't let the descriptions fool you. He may be living in a ground floor glorified closet, but he's having the time of his life. Obnoxious laughs that boom up the stairwell, loud telephone conversations in the garden, shit music, and late weekend barbecues. All the while, he's completely unaware of himself being a living, breathing annoyance to all of us living in the building. Here I am, bitter fuck in the window, taking a picture. Hashtag neighbors. Hashtag Tel Aviv. Hashtag Israel. Hashtag Ahmed. Hashtag bitterness. Yeah, Michael's musings, Instagram edition.
Okay, gonna follow him on Instagram.
And yeah, guys, so that's been today's episode. And by the way, we've actually I told you, Paige, but I've moved our podcast from Podbean to anchor.fm. Mm-hmm. And because they it's free. Mm-hmm. And we've been paying like, I don't know, like $100-something a year for the past 5 years. So like this free service, you know, puts us on all everything as well, but also on Spotify. So yeah. So
are we on Spotify?
Now we're officially, all our episodes are now on Spotify. You put Unusually Awkward, we're on Spotify.
What? That's amazing. I'm like, oh my God.
Yes.
Spotify. Yeah. Okay.
So yeah, guys. So yeah, we should be on almost every podcast app out there at this point. So yeah, we're easy to find. Get at us and keep it awkward.
Bye.
This year has been a little crazy for the Andersons. You may recall we had some trouble last year. The robot council had us banished to an asteroid that hasn't undermined our holiday cheer. And we know it's almost Christmas by the marks we make on the wall. That's a favorite time of year. Merry Christmas from Chiron Beta Prime, where we're working in a mine for our robot overlords. Did I say overlords? I meant protectors. Merry Christmas from Chiron Beta Prime. On every corner there's a giant metal Santa Claus who watches over us with glowing red eyes. They carry weapons and they know if you've been bad or good. Not everybody's good, but everyone tries. And the rocks outside the airlock exude ammonia-scented snow. It's like a winter wonderland. Merry Christmas from Chiron. protectors. Merry Christmas from Chiron Beta Prime. That's all the family news that we're allowed to talk about. We really hope you'll come and visit us soon. I mean, we're literally begging you to visit us and make it quick before they...
Message redacted.
Now it's time for Christmas dinner. I think the robot sent us a pie. You know I love my soil and green. Merry Christmas from Chiron Beta Prime, where we're working in a mine for our robot overlords. Did I say overlords? I meant protectors. Merry Christmas from Chiron Beta Prime.